जय गोपीरनबल्लभ किरिवर दारी जय गोपीरनबल्लभ गिरिवर दारी यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरावनचारी जमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपीरनबल्लभ गिरिवर दारी जय गोपीरनबल्लभ गिरिवर दारी यशोदानन्दन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानन्दन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरावनचारी जमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस प्रीव्राजकचार्य अष्टोत्तरतशिष्यमद् अभयचरणारविन्दं भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी महाराज शिल प्रोपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णववृंद की जय इस्कान बिबिटी संघ सबकाचार्य शिल प्रोपाद की जय नामाचार्य शिल हरिदास ठाकुर की जय प्रेम से गौर श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्तवृंद की जय श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गो गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की जाय श्री वृंदावन धाम की जाय श्री मायापूर्ण वरी धाम की जाय गंगा माय जमुना माय की जाय श्रीमारी तुलसी देवी की जाय श्रीमारी भक्ति देवी की जाय हरिनाम संकीर्तन यज्ञ की जाय, ग्रंथरत श्रीमद भागवतम की जाय, सामवेद भक्तबिंद की जाय। All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Which one we got on the board? 54. Okay. We already did 48, 49, 50. Already come? No? 48 to 54. But we're chanting 54. Right? Okay. 53, 54, or just 54? Okay, because there's two verses here. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Aham bhavo dhaksha bhrigu pradhanaha. Aham bhavo dhaksha bhrigu pradhanaha. Brajesha bhutesha suresha mukyaha. Brajesha bhutesha suresha mukyaha. Sarve vayam yani among prapapana. Sarve vayam yang niyamam prapanam. Mudyar pitam loka hitam vahamaha. Mudyar pitam loka hitam vahamana. Aham bhavo daksha bhrigu pradhanaha. Brajeshu puteshu suresha mukyaha. Sarve vayam yang niyamam prapana. Murdyar pitam lokahitam vahamaha. Aham bhavo daksha bhrigu pradhanaha. Prajesha bhuteshu suresha mukyaha. Sarve vayam yang niyamam prapana. Murdyar pitam lokahitam vahamaha. Anyone else? Aham bhavo daksha bhrigu pradhanaha. Rajesha bhuteshu suresha mukyaha. Sarve avayam yam niyamam prapana.
Murdyar
Ladies? So we should go back to 48 and start there. We'll come back to this later. Is that okay? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Pragdishtam Brityarakshayam Purushena Mahatmana Dadaha Kritam Tung Chakram Krud Ahim Eva Pavakaha. Translation. As fire in the forest immediately burns to ashes an angry snake, so by the previous order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his disc, the Sudarshan Chakra, immediately burnt to ashes the created demon to protect the Lord's devotee. Purport. As a pure devotee, Maharaj Ambarish, although in such danger, did not move an inch from his position, nor did he request the Supreme Personality of Godhead to give him protection. He was fixed in understanding, and it was certain that he was simply thinking of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the core of his heart. A devotee is never fearful of his death, for he meditates on the Supreme Personality of Godhead always, not for any material profit, but as his duty. The Lord, however, knows how to protect his devotee, as indicated by the words pragdishtam. The Lord knew everything. Therefore, before anything happened, he had already arranged for his chakra to protect Maharaj Ambarish. This protection is offered to a devotee even from the very beginning of his devotional service. Kuntiya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashati. Bhagavad Gita 11:31. If one simply begins devotional service, he is immediately protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshishish yamiha. Protection begins immediately. The Lord is so kind and merciful that he gives the devotee proper guidance and all protection, and thus the devotee very peacefully makes solid progress in Krishna consciousness without outward disturbances. A serpent may be very angry and ready to bite, but the furious snake is helpless when faced by a blazing fire in the forest. Although an enemy of a devotee may be very strong, he is compared to an angry serpent before the fire of devotional service. Om Ajnana Timirandascha Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Meditam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Garim Yat Kripa Taraham Bande Shri Gurun Dinataranam Paramanam Namaravam Shri Chaitanyeshwaram. So before starting, I'd just like to share with you some verses that glorify the Bhagavatam. You know, we have our standard verses here that are on this podium, and they're very nice. But there's one part of the Bhagavatam in the second canto, 8th chapter, verse number 4, where Maharaj Parikshit glorifies the Bhagavatam. After hearing from Shukadeva Goswami, he extols the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. So I'd just like to share those verses with you, if it's all right. Thank you. This is from the 8th chapter, text number 4, the chapter called Questions by Maharaj Parikshit.
Shrinvata shradhaya nityam krinatas chasvachestitam kalena natidrighena bhagavan vishate hridi.
Persons who hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly are always taking the matter and are always taking the matter very seriously will have the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna manifested in their hearts within a short time.
Pravista karna randrena svanam bhava sarururam dunoti samalang Krishna salisya yata sharat.
The sound incarnation of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Soul, in example Srimad Bhagavatam, enters into the heart of a self-realized devotee, sits on the lotus flower of his loving relationship, and thus cleanses the dust of material association such as lust, anger, and hankering. Thus it acts like autumn rains upon pools of muddy water.
Dao tatma purusha Krishna padam mulam namunchati mukta sarva pariklesha pantasva saranam yata.
A pure devotee of the Lord whose heart has once been cleansed by the process of devotional service never relinquishes the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, for they are fully satisfied, for they fully satisfy him as a traveler is satisfied at home after a troubled journey. Jai. So in this verse, we see here that Ambarish Maharaj has been put in great danger. And it describes how he was saved by the Sudarshan Chakra. Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport that he remained fixed in his position. He didn't become disturbed. So we can understand that you want to get back to it after I talk about this. Is that all right? I don't know how it works here. You know. Usually we just do one verse, but we're going to do a number of verses. So I thought I'll go through this verse because it has a purport, and then go to the next ones. Is that all right? Any objection? Okay. A pure devotee of the Lord, he remains fixed. He doesn't become carried away by the situations that arise, right? And we see this in the example of Ambarish Maharaj. He was very fixed. Even though there was this very dangerous demon that had been conjured up by Durvasa, he was fixed. And so this is the first point. We see this in the example of the devotees. Prahlad Maharaj, his father tried to kill him in so many ways, but he was undisturbed. And we see this even in the example of Srila Prabhupada. You can just imagine how difficult it was to at the same time try to push on the Sankirtan movement with people that were completely unfamiliar with anything to do with spiritual life, right? They didn't have a clue. They didn't know whether to use the right hand or the left hand or anything. So Srila Prabhupada had to train them, you know, from the very beginning. And you can just imagine persons that are, they don't have anything to understand about spiritual life, right? They bicker, they fight, there's so many different difficulties, right? Right in the very beginning on 26 Second Avenue, there was a young man who was devotee, I think he'd already gotten initiated even, and he came to Srila Prabhupada and asked for money to buy gasoline. And he asked for $5 to buy gasoline. Later on, the devotees told Srila Prabhupada, of course Prabhupada didn't give it to him, but he said that they told him that he wanted the gasoline to put it on himself and commit suicide. And Srila Prabhupada said, I knew there was something wrong because he was asking $5 for gasoline. It didn't require that much, you know. So he was dealing with all these kind of people, but Srila Prabhupada remained undisturbed, fixed, very patient in dealing with them. And that's the quality of devotee. Harisari Prabhu tells a nice story that one time he went in, you know, he was a new servant to Srila Prabhupada, and he came in, and Srila Prabhupada had drank a glass of water. So there was the pitcher, and there was a glass that he had drinking out of. So he picked them both up at the same time. And Srila Prabhupada, and, you know, he instructed him that, no, first you pick up the pitcher and take it, and then you come back and get the glass, because the glass has been contaminated by drinking out of it. And by picking them both up at the same time, you contaminate the glass and the pitcher. So Prabhupada, you know, explained this very patiently to Harisari. And Harisari thought, how many times Srila Prabhupada must have instructed this to his different servants, you know, how, what the standard of cleanliness is, right? Many times we revolt against instructions that we get, especially about cleanliness, because we're kind of set in our ways, right? But nonetheless, Srila Prabhupada displayed the same kind of patience in starting this movement that we see in the life here of Maharaj Ambarish. Now, another important point that Srila Prabhupada makes in this is that he didn't ask for protection, right? So, the devotee of the Lord, his business is to meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as Srila Prabhupada mentions, and that's what he's fixed in. And the pure devotee is like that. He's not thinking to get anything from the Lord, even if it's his own personal protection. He leaves that up to Krishna. He's busy meditating on Krishna's lotus feet. And I was thinking of a story that exemplifies that, how the devotee, you know, wants to give service but not take any service. And Prabhupada tells a nice story. Rupa Goswami was there in Vrindavan, living in the forest. And one day, Srila Prabhupada explains, he had the idea that he would like to, if he had the means, he'd like to cook a nice feast for his brother, Sanatan Goswami. But he didn't have anything. He was just living there in the forest. And the Goswamis, they would go from door to door and do madhukari and get one chapati or two chapatis, and that would be their meal for the day. But he had a thought like this. And about an hour later, a young girl comes to him and says, "In our house, there was a festival, and my mother told me to bring you these things." Young girl, very beautiful. And Rupa said, "Well, what village are you from?" And she said, "Over there." And he said, "Oh." And she said, "Well, I got to go now." And she took off. And so he had all these things, and he cooked up a nice feast. And he invited his brother for lunch, Sanatan Goswami, who came. And he saw all the wonderful preparations. He said, "Wow, this is a big feast. You know, you're living here in the jungle. You don't have anything. And how did you get all these things?" Well, he explained to him, "Well, there was this, I thought in the morning about making a feast, and then this young girl came with all these things." And Sanatan inquired, "Well, what did she look like?" And he was describing, "Well, she was very beautiful." And after hearing her description, then Sanatan Goswami said, "Oh." And he became very serious. And he said, "You've accepted service from Radharani." And they both began to cry. And realized that, you know, here they are living in Vrindavan and they're trying to do service and they've accepted service from Radharani. So this is the mentality of the devotee. He's not worried about getting anything from Krishna. He's actually worried about getting any service from Krishna. And he, you know, especially the pure devotees of the Lord, they're very cunning in one sense to not take any service from Krishna, but to do service for Krishna. So this is the mentality of the pure devotees of the Lord. And Ambarish was such a devotee that even though this hideous demon was in front of him, he wasn't asking the Lord for any protection. Meditation, this is what Krishna recommends. Manmana, always engage your mind in thinking of me, right? And then this is the way we become a devotee. So thinking of Krishna is our duty, but we shouldn't try to think of Krishna for any profit. not that we want to get something for Krishna. This is doing business with Krishna, and it's not recommended. We should think of Krishna because we've been instructed by our spiritual master to think of Krishna, and then we will get the full result of becoming purified. One interesting point is that Srila Prabhupada explains that from the very beginning of devotional service, the devotee is protected. And he quotes the Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter. the Lord protects his devotee. As soon as a person, an entity, begins his devotional service, begins her devotional service, we are protected. So this is a very assuring point. It's not that you have to reach a certain level of devotional service and then you can count on the Lord's protection. The Lord's protection is there right from the very beginning. And it's proof of that is that we're even able to render devotional service. The fact that we're in association with devotees, that we're chanting the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, it's proof of the fact that we have, that we're receiving the Lord's protection. The Lord, Prabhupada explains, he's aware of everything, he knows everything. He's the best judge of what protects the devotee. It's difficult to understand how the Lord works sometimes because of our being conditioned. We see on the one hand, Ambarish was in trouble, right? He was cursed by a Brahmin. A big demon was in front of him. The Lord sent his Sudarshan Chakra and burnt the demon to ashes. Maharaj Parikshit was cursed and he was bitten by a snake bird. So one might say, well, why the double standard? One pure devotee, he got saved. The other pure devotee, he got bitten. So on one hand, it may be difficult to understand the plan of the Lord, but if we hear from authorities, we understand that the Lord, he wanted to take Maharaj Parikshit back. And not only that, he wanted to make an arrangement so that Srimad Bhagavatam could be heard and Srimad Bhagavatam could be spoken, so that in all the future generations, people would be able to take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam and they would be able to become purified, as we just read in those verses that I mentioned in the front of in the beginning of the class. All the lust, all the anger, all the envy can be washed away from the heart simply by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And what better thing can anyone hope for? All of the anxiety that anyone experiences is due to these unwanted characteristics that are in the heart. The envy, the lust, the greed, right? The lust. So they can all be washed away by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So Maharaj Parikshit was part of such an important service to the Lord. And after that, I think he wanted to go back and the Lord wanted to take him back. So this is the understanding the plan of the Lord. Many times we can't do it because of our situation, lack of advancement, or covered overness, whatever you might want to say. So we have to hear from the authorities. And if we hear from the acharyas, then we can get a clear understanding of what the Lord's protection really is. So Srila Prabhupada mentions about how kind Krishna is, and certainly that's true. Krishna not only protects his devotee, but he also gives the devotee proper guidance. The whole Bhagavad Gita is there to guide the devotees of the Lord to come to the essence of devotional service, and that is surrender unto Krishna, always think of Krishna. And at the same time, Krishna explains everything else that there is. He explains about his own nature. He explains about what karma is, what the nature of the living entity is. He explains all these things in a proper way to guide all the living entities. And he does that simply due to his kindness. He's very kind upon his devotees. And he wants that they make, as Srila Prabhupada describes, solid progress, right? Solid progress doesn't mean anything material. It doesn't mean solid progress doesn't mean, well, you know, today I'm a temple president, one day I'll be a GBC. This is not solid progress. Solid progress means that one has an affinity for hearing about Krishna, that one likes to think about Krishna. And we have so many services that Srila Prabhupada has given us so that we can think of Krishna, just like deity worship. Deity worship is there, and it's a very important aspect of our movement. Sometimes we forget that, how important it is. There was a letter. Fortunately, we have letters from Srila Prabhupada about deity worship. And he described that it has to be done in a very specific way. We should not speculate in the deity worship. You know, because it's a creative thing, deity worship. It's very creative. You know, you dress the deities, there's an artistic flair to it. But at the same time, you can't speculate in it. There was a letter to Lakshmi Muni Mataji from Srila Prabhupada, Hare Krishna, in which he specifically says that you should don't speculate in the deity worship. If you speculate in the deity worship, you'll ruin our movement, right? You remember that? There's a letter there. You'll ruin our movement. If you speculate in the deity worship, you'll ruin our movement. So how important it is, you know, the process of deity worship. But it's there so that we can perform tapasya, right? They're, you know, getting up in the morning, taking a bath, going before the Lord, making the offerings, These are all austerities that we perform for the pleasure of Krishna. And if we do them with that mentality of for Krishna, they become pleasurable. They're not even austerities. And there are other austerities that we perform, like the bus parties just left for going out on traveling Sankirtan. How many have traveled in India on a bus on traveling Sankirtan? Few, okay. One day we'll make a ladies' party so you can get the experience, right? I don't know exactly how that would work, you know, in India, but you know, it's austere. You know, you have to travel in a bus and figure out where to park the bus in the best place so that you can sell books. And many times the shopkeeper will complain why you're parking in front of my shop because he doesn't want to hurt his business, right? So there are many austerities. I remember one time we were in Maharashtra and we parked the bus in front of this guy's shop. And he complained and complained, but we didn't move. And finally he brought the police. So the police came and they saw what was going on. We told him we're selling Bhagavad Gita. He turned to the shopkeeper and said, "What's wrong with you? Are you a Muslim? They're selling Bhagavad Gita. Leave them alone." So you never know how things are going to work. But it is austere. At the end of the day, right, you don't go home. You go find a place for the next morning where you can take a bath, some body of water, and have your morning program. So like that, it's kind of austere, but at the same time, you're dependent on Krishna. And it's easy to see on that traveling Sankirtan how Krishna protects his devotees. And, you know, the Indian roads are very dangerous, extremely dangerous. But we have, and the rate of accidents is one of the highest in the whole world, right? And fatalities, because once there's an accident, the ambulance either doesn't come or is very slow to come, the people die right on the street. But you see, the buses are protected. They're out there traveling continuously. And we had the same experience in Bombay. We never had any accidents. Of course, we always tried to keep good drivers and, you know, do everything so that we could avoid such a thing. But Krishna certainly gives a protection. He gives protection to those devotees who are making the effort to serve him. You know, they're taking the trouble. They're taking the austerity, whether it's in deity worship, whether it's in traveling Sankirtan, whether it's in publishing books. There's so many different services that are there, and they have their austerities, they have their difficulties, but Krishna always is there to help. And for the devotees that take that austerity and take that difficulty, then they can appreciate how Krishna is coming forward to help them. So, the last point that Srila Prabhupada covers in this purport is about, he compares devotional service to a blazing fire, and the snake, it is a very envious entity. And for no reason, many times it bites, it strikes, for no reason. But when there's a forest fire, Prabhupada describes, then the snakes are the first ones to get burnt up. Right? Those animals with four legs, they can make a run for it. But because the snake is crawling on its belly, they're the first ones to get burnt up in the forest fire. So one's devotional service should be very intense. One should try to read as much as one can, do as much service nicely as one can, and that will create a fire so that when any enemy comes forward in whatever form, that just like a snake may be very poisonous and very dangerous, but in the forest fire, is finished. In the same way, whatever difficulty we have, when it comes forward to us, we'll be able to stay fixed and will be able to face it, and it will be burnt to ashes by the strength of our devotional service. So we'll go on to the next verse. Tad abhidhavad udviksha svaprayasam sa nishvalam dhurvasa dhuru ve bhito dikshu prana puri pashya. Upon seeing that his own attempt had failed and that the Sudarshan Chakra was moving toward him, Durvasa Muni became very frightened and began to run in all directions to save his life. Tan anudavad bhagavad ratangam dhavagne ututashiko yatahim tatanushaktam manurikshamano guham vivekshu prasasadamero. As the blazing flames of a forest fire pursue a snake, the disk of the Supreme Personality of Godhead began following Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni saw that the disk was almost touching his back, and thus he ran very swiftly, desiring to enter a cave of Sumeru Mountain. Disho nabhi shama vivadam samudram lokam sapalam trividvam katasa yato yato davati tatra tatra sudarshanam dusparasam dadarsha. Just to protect himself, Durvasa Muni fled everywhere in all directions, in the sky, on the surface of the earth, in caves, in the oceans, on different planets of the rulers of the three worlds, and even on the heavenly planets. But everywhere he went, he immediately saw following him the unbearable fire of the Sudarshan Chakra. Alabdhanata sasada kutaschit santrastrachitoranam eshamana devam virinscham samagadvidhastas trayatmayone jitate jasomam. With a fearful heart, Durvasa Muni went here and there seeking shelter. But when he could find no shelter, he finally approached Lord Brahma and said, "O my Lord, O Lord Brahma, kindly protect me from the blazing Sudarshan Chakra sent by the Supreme Personality of Godhead." Brahma uvacha stanam madhiyam sahavishvametat kridam vasane dviparadha sanghe Bhrubangamatre nahi sandiraksha kalatmano yasya triro bhavishyati. Translation. Lord Brahma said, at the end of the Dviparada, when the pastimes of the Lord come to an end, Lord Vishnu, by a flick of his eyebrows, vanquishes the entire universe, including our places of residence. Such personalities as me and Lord Shiva, as well as Daksha, Bhrigu, and similar great saints of which they are the head, and also the rulers of the living entities, the rulers of human society, and the rulers of the demigods, all of us surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, bowing our heads to carry out his orders for the benefit of all living entities. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, text 34, it is said, Mrityu sarva haras chaham. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead approaches his death, or as the Supreme Controller of Time, he takes away, in other words, he takes everything away. In other words, all opulence, prestige, and everything we possess is given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead for some purpose. It's the duty of the surrendered soul to execute the orders of the Supreme. No one can disregard him. Under the circumstances, Lord Brahma refused to give shelter to Ravasa Muni from the powerful Sudarshan Chakra sent by the Lord. So the Durvasa tried to get shelter from Lord Brahma, but Lord Brahma said, "What can I do?" Just like Lord Chaitanya was approached by the devotees because Gopinath Patnaik was going to be thrown on the Changa by the king, right? Because he had a fight with one of the king's advisors. So they came to Lord Jagannath. And Lord Jagannath, they came to Lord Chaitanya, right? And said, "Help save Gopinath Patnaik because they're going to throw him on the Changa." And Lord Chaitanya said, "Well, what can I do? Pray to Lord Jagannath," right? So it's kind of the same thing. Durvasa is coming to Brahma, you know, "Save me, save me." He said, "What can I do? The Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's his chakra. It's all powerful. What can I do?" So the devotee has that perception that whatever situation we're in that situation by the arrangement of the Lord. And if we need protection, it's the Lord that's going to give the protection. It's like the other day, they say that little quote from Srila Prabhupada at the end of Mangalarti. So three or four days ago it was, "It's not the doctor, it's not the medicine, it's the supreme manager of all situations. It's Krishna." Right? One has to surrender to Krishna. But even if you're ready to surrender to Krishna, if you offend Krishna's devotee, nobody can save you. Even the Lord can't save you, which we'll find out later on, right? When he went to the Vaikuntha and saw Lord Vishnu and requested Lord Vishnu to save him from the Sudarshan Chakra. He reminded him, "You offended the devotee. You have to go to the devotee and ask forgiveness." So in devotional service, we certainly do have the Lord's protection. There's no doubt about it. But at the same time, we have to be cautious that we keep the Lord's protection. And one of the ways to do that is to not offend devotees. And if we're careful about that, then certainly we can be assured by whatever situation we're in that this is something that the Lord wants for us for an advancement. We'll have that realization. And thus we'll feel protected. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments? Yes? Got the mic? Bhakta Mike, where's the mic?
Hare Krishna Prabhu. You were telling about not making offenses to devotees.
Yeah.
But when we live in a place like Mayapur and there are so many devotees, we're offending each other and sometimes we don't realize who or what we've done. So what do we do then?
Well, that's why it's important to go to Mangalarti and then we say Vanchakalpta to each other. You know, yeah, there's like 3,000 devotees here. It may be hard to, you know, be on good terms with everybody. So if you go to Mangalarti, it's part of the program. Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyascha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnava. So you covered all the bases, as they say in America. I don't know. That's like American slang. Sorry. Hare Krishna. Any other questions? Yes. Mike.
I'm trying to relate how we can still pray, like every day we pray to Lord Nrisimha, every day we pray for protection, to remove obstacles in our spiritual life. So how can we relate this to the verse where Lord already gives protection to the devotees? So what is the significance of our prayers then? Do we still pray or?
Well, no, we should always pray for, you know, protection in devotional service, protect our whatever little advancement that we've made in devotional service, and also remove the obstacles of, like, as you mentioned. But we don't need to pray for things like, help me find a nice wife, or help me find a nice husband, or, these kind of things you don't really want to bother the Lord with, because the Lord knows everything. In fact, we don't even know what our material desires are. We have a bunch of material desires, matas mitir gyanam apoanam cha, but it's the Paramatma who brings out those material desires and says, see, you wanted to enjoy like this, remember? And then we say, oh yeah, right. So we're so helpless, right? But if we surrender to Krishna and request Krishna, realizing our helpless nature, for progress in devotional service, that kind of protection we can ask for, right? We should ask for that, and we should know our helpless nature, and come before the Lord, and not request something material, which, like, we get the example of Dhruva Maharaj. He repented. Why I asked for such a foolish thing? It's like you go to a king, and he says, "Okay, I'll give you any benediction you want. Ask." And we say, "Can you give me 50 paisa? 50 paisa." It's a foolish thing to ask from the king. What do you do with 50 paisa, right? When he can give you so much. So when we come before the Lord, we're asking, yes, we want some. We want attachment to the holy name. We want attachment to his devotional service. We want attachment to his lotus feet. These are the things that we can freely ask for, and with the idea to help us progress in our devotional service. So it's asking for something's not bad. What we ask for is, we should be careful. Dhruva Maharaj, later on, he repented. I was looking for pieces of broken glass, and I got this Lord's lotus feet, which is like the valuable gem. Yes. Mike. Come here and get the mic.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you for the nice class. Prabhuji, at Mangal Arati, if we are made to chant the 10 offenses and also the offenses to the Dham, then I think we'll be very careful, because also I feel shouted at and pushed all the time.
Yes, we should be very careful with offenses to the holy name, and we should be very careful not to make any offense in the holy Dham. Don't come to the holy Dham for anything but spiritual advancement. Don't come here for any other thing except for spiritual advancement. And if you're living in the holy Dham, you should consider yourself to be very, very fortunate. One of the most fortunate living entities anywhere, to be in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Mayapur Dham. And one should think, how I can serve. I remember when I came here for the first time in 1974, it was the first Mayapur festival. And that time the temple was in the Lotus building on the ground floor. And one of the things that the senior devotees told us was, if you're in the Dham, get some service. Because doing service in the holy Dham, it's multiplied thousands of times compared to doing service anywhere else. So it's very important that if you're living in the Dham, you have some nice service to perform for the pleasure of Sri Sri Radha Madhava and Panchatattva, so that our time in the Dham is maximized and spent the best.
Yes, Prabhuji, okay? I always felt the need to hear the 10 offenses and offenses to the Dham at Mangal Arati, because that is the time when we can set our mood also, and also not get disturbed by the shouts and the pushes, because then it is easy to tolerate. Otherwise, it's so hard.
Well, I also think, the Mangal Arati is really crowded with the, there's the shouts and the pushes, like you mentioned. But that actually is the proof of the glories of Srila Prabhupada. And I can remember a time when no one was coming here. Right, Janani Vas Prabhu? Hardly people would come. But now so many people are come. So that's proof of the preaching of the devotees that are going out there in the buses and performing the austerity. The result is that Radha Madhava are so famous, the Panchatattva are so famous, and it's only going to increase. But you know, we should see that that difficulty as a little tapasya, but it's actually the glories of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Chaitanya's pure devotee Srila Prabhupada manifesting. So let it manifest. Hare Krishna.
It hardly takes any time, Prabhuji. So that is why I was mentioning. So many announcements are made. So if it is possible.
You're asking me? I'm just a visitor here. I don't okay. I don't have anything to do with the management, you know.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for the nice class.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I want to say that I'm not clear on that letter, but I think what happened was that...
The letter's there, 100%.
Yeah, I'm sure it's there. I mean, there were many on deity worship in particular.
Yeah.
But what happened was someone was doing something, and I didn't know how to do it, if it was correct. And I asked Prabhupada, and Prabhupada wrote me back that.
Now you got it.
So my realization is that if you don't know, ask. And later Prabhupada said, if you don't have enough intelligence to know the right thing to do, then find someone who does.
And ask. You just have enough intelligence to ask.
Yeah, if you don't have enough intelligence to figure out what to do,
right.
Then have enough intelligence to ask someone who has intelligence and find out what to do.
In the old days, the senior devotees were there, and you know, it was a far-gone conclusion that we would find out from them what is appropriate in every situation. And we had a lot of faith that, you know, it was coming down from Srila Prabhupada through the devotees, right?
It should be noted that then a senior devotee was someone who had been a devotee for maybe 5 years, max.
2 years? Any other questions, comments? Okay, thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande.